guys. Welcome.
You going to start again?
Yes, goddammit.
All right.
All right. So listen, real quick, on yesterday's episode, Andy and I ended the episode where I said I have to go take a shit. To be continued, here we are. So I went to the bathroom. I went to my room. From the time I pulled my pants down, got on the can, gave birth to my chocolate child, wiped my ass and pulled my pants back up, I was on the can for a minute and 15 seconds. I'm on my way back down to Andy's room. He texts me and goes, don't rush back because now I have to take a shit. I said, dog, leave the door cracked. I'm already on my way. I come in. This nigga's on the toilet for 20 minutes. I want to know from people like you, because a lot of people do this. My brother used to do this. What the fuck are y'all doing where you're on the can for 20 fucking minutes? A shit should be in, out, bada boom, bada bing. Keep it moving. What do y'all be doing in there?
Okay, first of all, it wasn't 20 minutes. But here's the thing. Number one, this is what you never understood as from being a dad, is that sometimes taking a shit is the only time you have any time to yourself.
Okay.
So you go in there, and that's where you make yourself comfortable for a few minutes. Number one, that's not what happened, though, today.
I could tell this is going to be a shit storm of a shit story.
That's not what happened. I'm going to tell you the shit story. So you left. I did a couple things here, and then I was like, you know what? I need to take a shit. So I went to the bathroom, and I texted you while I was in the bathroom. Hey, I'm taking a shit now. Don't rush back. And then you text back, I'm already on my way. Leave the door cracked. So that meant in mid-shit, I had to stop, wipe my ass, flush the toilet, wash my hands, go to the door, put the little thingy in so that you could come back in, go back, sit down, and nothing happened after that. So I sat there waiting, hoping to get that the second part out, and now I'm just sitting here uncomfortable knowing I have like an unfinished business. Like,
so you pinched a loaf and you still got half in you?
Yeah, I think about a quarter. Like, I think I got 3/4 out.
Well, why did you just push it out while you was in there?
I don't push.
You let it naturally just
let it come out, man.
Damn,
I'm not fighting with myself.
So you don't do the.
No, man, that's bad for you.
Who says who?
Doctors, life. That's
I've never heard that.
It's bad for you.
I've at times pushed and I went. You know when you go and your head shakes and you feel like you're about to black out.
Yeah, that's when you're about ready to give yourself like a stroke or a heart. You could people die on the. You know, every year hundreds of people die taking a shit.
I would love to know the statistics on that.
We'll have to pull. I'll have it for you next week.
Please have some shit stats for me.
But I'm going to tell you, people die. That's not where I want to die.
I want shit stats and ass analytics. Okay, you ready to start this movie?
Yeah, man.
All right, listen. One of my favorite movies was on earlier today, and I always praise this fucking movie because I love it. I think Ray is one of the best movies ever.
Yeah, it's good.
One of my favorite scenes is that scene where Regina, oh God, don't do this. Black, beautiful actress.
You know I don't remember names.
227.
Yeah, I know.
I want to say Regina Hall. Oh, Aries, don't do this. Can you do your Jew thing? And oh no, your phone's over
there.
Yeah,
IMDb.
God damn it. Oh no, all I gotta do is this. I can't believe I'm fucking doing this. The cast of the movie Ray.
I can't even remember the lead. And
Jamie Foxx?
Yeah, I couldn't remember his name. When I need to remember a name, it's not there.
Regina King, God damn it. That scene where Regina King calls Ray at his home in L.A. and he tells her, what you crazy? I'm with my wife and kids. And she gets drunk and she's drinking during the recording session. And her and Ray get into that fight and Ray goes, just forget that. He goes, Ray, how are we going to do the song? You just do the girls out. Man, forget that. I'll take care of the girl part and find me an old Johnny girl. And he goes, last night when I heard you say, doo-doo-doo-doo, oh, Johnny, when you know my name is Ray, that's why I believe. I love that fucking scene. I actually want to play that scene for you real quick because it's truly one of my favorite scenes. All right, here it is right here.
Last night you were dreaming and I heard you say,
oh, Steve.
Yeah.
to that kind of episode. This is going to be a good one, man. Steam is coming off these motherfucking papers.
Let's do it.
But before we do it, I want to address this nigga who I blocked off my Instagram. And I want people to understand this. Listen, the history was when I got into that fight with Corey Holcomb at the radio station, at the 5150 with Zoe, all of his people call me the gooey raccoon. That's what they call me, nigga, the gooey raccoon. You can laugh, it's funny.
I am laughing.
That's a gooey raccoon. But this one nigga who clearly was a fan of his, he starts off with in my DM, hey, gooey raccoon, give me the link to your podcast. Where can I find it? And I had responded to him, in your mother's pussy, nigga. But then I gave him the link. Motherfucker, support the goddamn show. So he would have this thing where he would check in with me and give me these backhanded compliments and go, man, you and Andy, y'all podcast is the best shit out. Y'all motherfuckers is good. I love y'all, you fat motherfucker. So, you know, I said, yeah, whatever. Thanks for listening. So as I was leaving to come here to Indianapolis, I 4 in the morning, I'm reading an Instagram DM from him, and he goes, and yeah, man, another thing, you need to stop pumping up Patrice so much. Man, I watched Elephant in the Room. That nigga not even in my top 15. You be praising that nigga. He ain't even that funny. You should smack yourself, nigga. So finally, I hit him back, and I said, hey, look here, man. First of all, comedy is subjective. So just because you don't find him funny don't mean he ain't funny. But I tell you this, if you was to poll 100 people and they saw his work, his body of work, I guarantee you 90% of them would say he's in the top 5. Matter of fact, he's right there damn near with Chappelle. So because you don't like him, that's fine. But let me do this, nigga. I'm about to block you. Because there's a difference between laughing with me and laughing at me. And you one of the most disrespectful ass niggas I've ever come across. And I know by this time, people that listen to this podcast, I don't mind a good joke. I'm a comedian. I'm supposed to laugh at a good joke. If you got something to say about me that's funny, I'll be the first motherfucker to give it to you. Hat tip, nigga. You know, I said this before. Back when Shaq had his show, which was kind of like Daniel Tosh's show, where basically he reviews home videos and makes jokes. I remember he had me, Godfrey, and Gary Owen as guests, and Shaq's the host. And I told Shaq this, and he was dying. I said, hey, man, this dude on Twitter told me back when I was, you know, a little bit heavier, Aries, you got the physique of 10 fat bitches hugging. And Shaq died, rightly so. So we can laugh at me, but you can't maliciously try to act like you cool with me and disrespect me. And this nigga listened to the podcast. I was trying to find his name in my phone, and I couldn't because I remember I blocked his motherfucking ass. But, dog, if you listening to this, come at me with respect, nigga. Don't disrespect me. And all that fat goo, you got malice in your heart. You trying to tell me you like our podcast, me and Andy are great, and you like you with us, and you being nice and complimentary, but you being disrespectful. You fat motherfucker, you gooey fat fuck. Smack yourself, nigga. You trying to be complimentary, but you being disrespectful at the same time. So fuck you. If you want to keep listening, keep listening. I already got your money, nigga. We get paid from this. So you're a subscriber. Hey, Dirty, baby, I got your money. Dirty, I got your shit, nigga. And I seen your picture. Your waistline is bigger than me. Your mix section looks like a keg, nigga. You built like a propane tank. At ease, cocksucker. Now it's your turn. Here we go. This is from Wendell Barris III. I'm Wendell Barris III. Anytime you got a number in your name, you a regal ass nigga. When I come, I don't orgasm, I cream. My semen is made of a hollandaise sauce with jalapenos and capers. All right, Wendell Barris III. What's up, Aries? Much love and respect to you, homie. I am a 90s baby, but I've been up on your shit since Shaq's All-Star Comedy Jam. I feel like Hollywood is not giving you a fair shot whatsoever, but you're one of the realest, Holmes. Can't buy integrity. I just started listening to the podcast about a month ago, and I've caught up on almost all episodes. What I've gathered from the podcast is that you're pro-black, militant, and all for your peoples. I don't agree with you on all your opinions, but needless to say, I still agree with you a lot of what you say when it comes to racial issues. Now my problem, to borrow from Bill Burr, oh geez, with Andy is that he's a typical, and he puts in caps, white boy. He acts like he's listening, and he'll latch on to one thing in your argument, and just like every other caps white boy, he'll try to play city slicker and try to box his way out of the corner by nibbling on that one point until you can finally say, fuck it. Whatever, say, fuck it. Whatever, which is what most white boys do. Once again, he's the typical white dude latching on to niggas for his personal gains and vanishing once he used a motherfucker up and can't get shit out of them. Now, let me just stop reading right real quick because I got to do this. Dog, you're wrong. Andy's not. I don't know where you get that assessment. Saying that he latch on niggas for personal games and vanishes once he uses a motherfucker up. Me and him almost been rocking for going on 3 years. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe you done using me?
Nah, man.
All right, so you got more shit.
Yeah, you got more in
there. Okay, all right. You dug into his ass on episode 86, and he tried to crawfish his way out by saying that slick shit about black soldiers dropping nukes on motherfuckers as if they had a choice. If they had a choice, in caps, fuck this white cocksucker. I believe he secretly is a Trump supporter because he can't pick a side. Much love, Aries. Can't wait till you come down to the South, Louisiana. And Andy, I haven't watched your stand-up. Don't know if you're funny or not, but don't give a fuck. I just know you a punk-ass cocksucker. Fuck you, Andy. Suck a dick, bitch. What is this, Velvet?
Man, I thought he was making some valid personal points until he just became a bitch and just started saying shit. Like, just talking shit about... You can say that you don't agree with me. You can say that you don't even like my approach. But then you just called me a fucking bunch of names, so...
White boy!
And you can call me white boy. I'm white.
Fucking white boy.
But, man... Honestly, the way he came at me at the end...
Cocksucker.
I don't even have anything for him.
Fuck you, bitch.
If that's the best you could do, then you didn't really have anything that you're mad at me about other than you hate yourself.
Well, listen, man, like I said, and for Wendell Barnes III, that was very non-Wendell Barnes III
sounding. Dude, I don't get, one, you said something, you don't know my comedy, you don't know if I'm funny, you don't give a shit. You don't know me, number one. Number two, I stuck with my opinion. I continue to stick with my opinion on how I feel about everything. I don't always take a side because I try to see a perspective from everybody's side, even your fucking the person that you hate the most, Trump. And let me just tell you, Trump isn't, and I'm going to say it again, isn't the problem. If you think getting rid of Trump and
here's a little bit, here's a little bit, here's a little bit, here's a little bit. But go ahead.
What? Okay. Yeah, no. Okay. I'll give you that. But you get rid of Trump. And that's not the finish line. That's not even the barely the starting line. I just don't understand. Listen, okay, here's one. I'm going to give you one that I just saw right now. And this is where people get mad at me in this Trump shit. Trump, when there was forest fires a few years ago in Los Angeles that were bad, he said, "Well, like other countries, we're not taking the money, we're not going out and cleaning out raking out the dead leaves and getting rid of and." Like they do in another country. And I brought up whatever country he brought up. And then they said, that's not what they do in the other countries. Now, right now, there's forest fires going on. And
firemen?
Not the firemen, but the people who take care. Well, firemen, but also the people who take care of the forests and stuff like that. The environmentalists. They're saying that part of the problem is they haven't spent any money on clearing out all the excess debris. The dead trees, the dead leaves, that there's piles of dead leaves 10 feet tall, and that's what's causing all these fires right now that are to be so bad and to burn. Well, Trump said that. And because of hatred for Trump, something that he said that probably could have stopped fires right now. You want to call that bullshit because you hate Trump, but now people in California are dealing with the fires. Just because someone is, even the most racist person might have an idea. Not saying that I have to embrace the racist, but don't cover yourself up and cover your ears to something that could help. They should have been doing some brush clearing. They should have been doing some other things, but that became a Trump issue. We made it a Trump issue. That's not a Trump issue. That's what I'm saying when I'm saying he is the symptom, not the problem. We have a problem in this country that's so big that needs to be handled in a different kind of way. And if you think that I'm nipping at that, I admit to it wholeheartedly. But I don't. But you just called me all the shit you called me. I don't even give a fuck what happens to you, man. I don't. I hope you get caught in the fire.
White boy.
Fuck that shit.
You cocksucker, white boy.
Yeah. That's the best he had for me.
Listen, Wendell. Like I said, brother, I understand where you're coming from, but a little bit of it is misplaced. Andy's not a user, man. Listen, we useless to each other.
We're not doing anything for either one of us.
Because listen, he's a Jew who can't tap into the resources we need, and Hollywood is run by these motherfuckers. And I'm not where I should be because I'm so, yeah, brother. So what is there that he can gain from me other than the ability to get some stage time on a consistent basis and make a little bit of dough?
I was getting stage time though. But I mean, it's better. It's more consistent with you.
Right.
But something he said there, and this is why I said, because he doesn't like himself. When he said a white boy who taps into into blackness to get what they want, somebody did that to him. Cause that's something that he's saying.
Right.
That's some bullshit that he has that he's mad at something that's happened to himself because there's no valid reason to throw that at me. That's something that you went through on your own.
Right.
Fucking figure that shit out. Figure that shit out.
And it ain't like, you know, I mean, again, Kevin Hart is the crescendo. He's the top of the crop. I'm not even Mike Epps, nigga. You know, Mike Epps works consistently in movies and projects. So it ain't like Andy's going, oh, that role for me is coming any day. Cause nigga, I'm not doing that. And like I said, this motherfucker said on the WAP episode that he knows billionaires, and I wanted to punch him in his mouth. Like, nigga, what are we doing struggling? You got billionaire connections? So it ain't that kind of relationship. He's not that kind of a dude. I would just say, you know, maybe, you know, come at him with a different energy, man. Like, you know, that was a little harsh.
No, man.
Wendell the Third.
Take care of whatever your problem is, and then get back to me, and we'll figure some shit out together.
All right.
I can't
moving.
Even be mad at it. I mean,
you were a little bit.
No, I got to be honest. I feel sorry for him in a way.
You had an R. Kelly moment. I felt your temperature rising. All right.
I just don't get that.
All right. Well, let's keep it going. This is from Gerard, either Gerard or I think it's Jared. Jared W. Episode 183. Man, I have to tell you that episode 183 when you guys were arguing about the NBA and what it has done to stop police brutality made me fuming angry at Andy. I could not believe that Andy would argue that the NBA's supposed progressive stance, Black Lives Matter, on a jumbotron or community service is change. Black Lives Matter is a political movement that is cooped by the Democratic Party and really has not represented substantive, holy shit. Y'all know what it is. A lot of me. Change outside of veneer for liberals to feel good. They've done good work, but not at the level where they are forcing anyone's hand. I agree with you, Aries. The players pump faked on a real opportunity to make change, to shift consciousness, and to work in concert for a collective goal. To stop injustice. To go back from potentially canceling a season that already is not as lucrative to the NBA owners due to COVID would have at least sent a message that could have reverberated. It would have potentially inspired others in sports and entertainment, the main areas where Black people have collective economic power to also do something similar. Think about that impact. Yes, the players hurt the cause. if the Montgomery bus boycott was canceled because the leaders decided not go through with it, the civil rights movement could have ended right there, and we may have never made any strides forward as a result of that movement. Either Andy is an idiot to not understand this, or he is so entrenched in white supremacist thinking that he thinks that it is normal to say what he's saying. Jared.
See, now Jared I could have a conversation with.
Yeah, because he ain't call you a cocksucker. Like,
well, okay. So let's get back.
White boy.
Yeah, let's get back to what you said, though.
And for the record, I agree with him. I said it.
I know, but here, let's do this. When we're talking about Montgomery and the boycott of the bus system, what were they boycotting?
The right to be able to sit where they want to sit.
Okay, so there was it was a civil rights movement, but there was an agenda. What was the agenda for the NBA?
With Black Lives Matter?
Yeah, well, to boycott, what was the agenda? What was the agenda that they wanted? What were they going to accomplish?
By boycotting.
Yeah. I'm not saying that they wouldn't have accomplished anything by boycotting. What was the agenda?
But we will never know that because they didn't go through with it.
But then this is what my point was, that I think it's missed because it sounds like I don't think that a boycott would work. That's not what I was trying to say. That boycott, I didn't feel was at the right place.
What other place could it be?
To do this right, they need the NFL. They need the NBA. They need
everybody. I said that.
Yes, but they need
Avengers Assemble
and a collective idea of what it was going to cause. Because you're not boycotting basketball, you're not boycotting football. You're boycotting the intrinsic racism of the United States, and there's a way to do that. But it has to be a clear message, and it has to come out. And the reason I was saying the NBA wasn't the place to start with it is because those are the voices, the owners of that, are more progressive than the owners in the NFL and in baseball. And those are the people's voices that you can use, because if you say you want to use those that influence, that's the influence that you could use. Listen, I think that you could go to the owners. I think people in sports could go to the owners, and we're seeing it right now. When they talked about football today, they talked about the coaches and some of the owners. The movement is there. I mean, it can happen, but it needs to have a clear-cut way of moving forward. Just a boycott. What are you boycotting? That's what I didn't get to. What are you boycotting? You're not boycotting basketball. I said that. You're not boycotting sports. You're boycotting the treatment of blacks in this country.
Okay, but let me stop you for a second. You see what you just said? That's what I didn't say. You just said that. That's what I didn't get to. That's how important it is to make sure that when you say shit, you got shit together. Because one missing link can change the whole message. That's why I'm saying when people like Marcellus Wiley people like him, Mike Epps, say the things you say, even if your intention is well. You got to put them words together right, because it throws everything off. So that's on you. That's your fuck up.
You just
said it.
Okay.
You didn't get to it. You didn't articulate what you meant to articulate.
No, because we were arguing about it, and I never got to that point where that is the point. You have to have a clear-cut direction. There has to be some type of leadership. It can't just be, this is what we're going to do. There needs to be a direction. Well, there needs to be a movement.
But this is why I'm saying we don't know what that was, because they never did it.
But it can still happen. It doesn't have to go away now. There's leaders right now that can be working for this, approaching owners in sports. This can happen. I'm not saying that it shouldn't happen. It needed to happen in a way that could be most effective, which I didn't think this was organized enough to be effective yet.
No, I think that if they had done it with everybody involved.
But not everybody was involved at the time.
That's the problem. At this point, it shouldn't even be up for debate about everybody being involved. This should happen yesterday. I saw on the news where it said, or maybe I saw it on social media, where a couple of arenas, football arenas, they were booing the players for locking arms.
Yeah,
they were booing it. So it's like, really? So y'all, again, y'all want us to get on the field. You want us to get on the court. You want us to entertain you, but you won't even understand what this is about, and you don't give a fuck.
And that's ridiculous. That was one of the I was embarrassed as a human to see that. Because there was nothing in there but besides people banding together to say we're one.
And that was too much.
And that was too much for them. They shouldn't even be allowed to watch football.
That's why I'm saying it's time to take shit to the next level.
But here, listen, hear me out then. We're going through COVID right now. These are games, but you saw there's no one in the stands.
Yeah.
We're doing basketball. We're doing hockey. We're doing
basketball with cardboard cutouts.
What if we get things normal again? What if we get things to the point where things are going, okay, now we're going to have a basketball season. Now we're going to have a football season. Now we don't have money coming from the government to support billionaires that have teams that haven't been able to pay their rents on their stadiums or their employees. Now it's about business. We're ready to go. And the players, the entertainers, all banded together and say, well, we're not starting a season until we have this contract with America. Until we can go. Because one of the things when you try just to legislate, we have the laws in place that this shouldn't be happening. It's not just about the laws. It's about demands being met by from the public, from the individual, to the government.
Right. I got to implement. This is why he's a fucking genius. Dave Chappelle's joke from For What It's Worth, the Showtime special, you know. The founding fathers, as they was writing the Constitution, all men are created equal. Nigger, get me a sandwich or I'll kill you. Justice, liberty. So when you go, these laws, they've been in place.
Right.
They've been in place.
So it's not just about passing a law. It's about changing the way, the thought process of this country. And I'm going to tell you, right now, everybody's in this. In a half-hearted way. I mean, you have attention because people don't have anywhere else to look because we're in this COVID thing. Right. But if we thought shit was going to roll out and was going to get normal, and then the season didn't start because of this, and there was organization, there was a group, it was together, it was one movement. It's not just black. It's not just white. It's a group. It's a movement of progressive people to change how this country is run. Now we have something. Just to go at it. And now you have voices too. Now you were talking about billionaires. You could get ownership behind this. You could, if they were part of it and they were part of changing the landscape, that would change everything. The way this was happening, there wasn't a movement of all of this coming together as one group. It was definitely heard. It was definitely being seen. But I think that there's an opportunity to do this in a bigger way and having everyone involved to make this change. I think that could be the sea change. I don't think that was the moment, and that's all I felt. I felt it was being one taking on the NBA's shoulders, which again, and I didn't even say this to you on that.
But how long does it take you to do what should be obvious?
Well, obviously, it's taken over 240 something years right now in this country.
I know, but I'm speaking to when the NBA players said, "Yo, we ain't playing for the rest of the season." That dog whistle. Should have been heard throughout the sports and entertainment world immediately. There shouldn't have to be a phone call from the NBA to the NFL to go, hey, this is what we're doing. They should go, yeah, nigga, we've been waiting on this call. Let's go.
Okay, but here's the other part of that. The NBA is the third sport in the country. Not that far behind hockey. Not that far ahead of hockey.
You're talking about in terms of popularity?
Yeah. Oh. It's predominantly a black sport. This country right now is getting financed. They're financing the businesses that aren't making money through this, through the government right now. I don't see that is going to be the change. This is a country that works off financial gain. And I didn't see a financial loss in that situation.
Really?
No, not.
You don't see that? Nah. How obvious that would have been?
No, because this isn't a real win right now. What they're doing, this is to get income. But it isn't the win. It isn't the money that they're normally making. They could take the loss on this.
Again, well, they could take it, but for how long?
But we're expecting to go into a real season in next year.
But the key thing is we'll never know because they never did it. And the fact that they faked it.
They didn't fake it.
When I say fake it, I mean the fact that they didn't follow through.
But they got things out of this. Voting, using the stadiums for voting. There's money going back into the system that it should be. Who are you affecting the most when you get rid of the NBA? For instance, when we saw football, you're talking about how they put arms together. Who do we need to affect? You have the audience that watches the NBA, I think, are probably more on the pro side of change. The people that the NFL, you heard them boo.
Again,
who do we need to affect?
Okay, listen. Again, I don't want to say fuck voting because I understand, air quotes, the importance of voting. But what I'm saying is, okay, let's ride with that. They use stadiums for voting stations. Everything I keep reading on social media and from black people is whether you vote for Trump, which we know is an L for us, or you vote for Biden, it's an L for us. You talk to some black people, Obama was an L for us. So what decade are we talking about? Wait a minute. Was Nixon a win for us? Was Reagan a win for us? Was Clinton a win for us? We all know under Clinton, more black men went to prison and blah, 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 blah. So if we're talking about the power and the gain is in using arenas to vote, well, we've been voting. If we go back far enough, we couldn't vote. If we progress to now we can vote, again, which decade you talking about? We voted in the 70s. Did it change anything? We voted in the 80s. Reaganomics. Did it change anything? We voted in the 90s. Clinton, more black men in prison. Did it change anything? And this was supposed to be really our first black president. Remember them jokes? Clinton is the first nigga president because he played sax and got side pussy. We voted in, you know, George Bush. Did that change anything? Kanye West. Bush does not like black people. Katrina. Again, I'm not going to ever shit on Obama, but again, black people go, man, Obama didn't do shit. And he was black. Now we got Trump, and we know how that is. We might get Biden, and we saying that's a L. So clearly voting ain't it.
No, this is not the right approach. Here's one of the bigger approaches. You just named all the presidents. Voting for your president, it needs to be done, but that isn't where the change is. The change is in your Congress. The change is electing people from your city who represent you, who look like you, to go to Washington make laws.
We've been talking this horse shit since forever. At some point, it becomes talk.
The lowest black turnout was during the last election. The lowest black voter turnout was during the last election, and you got Trump. So voting does make a difference.
So does colluding with Russia and tampering with the ballots.
Right now, there is North Korea is involved in tampering with our election. China's involved with tampering, and this isn't all one sided. This is where we get messed up. Those other countries, Russia, whatever, they're not colluding to make America to get the president that they want in America. They don't want America. This is where we have to realize, and this is where one day, hopefully, we can get to the point where we realize that this is America. This is all one. This is supposed to be one team. Yeah, we have different ideas, but it's supposed to be one team.
We keep here, and this is why I don't want to get too deep into this, but I also want you to make your points. This is why I hate this conversation, because isn't this just starting to sound like rehash familiarity?
Is it closer?
Words like supposed to.
Is it closer than it was before?
Okay, it might be, but it ain't where it should be, and we keep doing the same shit. So maybe it's time to go to DEFCON 4.
I've said that that's going to happen if we don't make changes anyway.
Okay, well then the inevitable's coming. Okay. Whatever that might be, then the inevitable's coming. Because we keep talking about this, and we keep saying the same thing. We got to put the right people that look like us, that represent us, in the right seats, in the right position. We've been doing that.
No, but it needs to happen more. It needs to.
And
it can be done.
Can be.
It should be.
Should be.
And it will be.
That's the one thing we're not saying. The will be.
It will be.
We've gotten the should be's, could be's, can be's, but we ain't got the will be's.
There's no other option. The other option.
There was. and we did, and we pump faked on it. There was.
But what was the change? Tell me the change that was going to be made then. Tell me.
We don't know because we didn't do it. Because that's the point.
If there would have been an end game solution, they would have done it. It wasn't there yet. It can be done now.
And it wasn't there yet, and that's our fault.
No, this is. I don't think there's a fault. I think the right move was to get organized.
Okay. And we didn't do that.
You don't know what's going on right now behind the scenes right now.
Technically, I don't. But what do you think is going on for real?
I think that they're going to get more. There's going to be a more political movement with inside of sports in general. Definitely black sports figures in general. I think it has to be. I think the idea that people don't think that they should that any sports figure doesn't have a right to speak their mind, but anybody else can. That's ridiculous. They have you have a platform to make change. You use that platform. Every other race, every other group of people, everybody would also use their platform.
But we're coming to the same point. Use the platform. They've been doing it, but it's been on jumbotrons. It's been symbolism, not actual. It's time to put my boot in your ass.
And the movement now can do that. I think that they needed a through line of what was going to happen next. How did you know it was going to be? You said they didn't go forward with it. How do you know that that's what they got wasn't what they were looking for?
And what did they get?
They got money to do more projects through the NBA. They have. I know that the voting. There was other things that are in there. I know that there's other parts of the agreement with the ownership agreement of the NBA and the NBA Association. But again, this is already a group of people, the NBA, that was already working in this direction.
All right.
I just think that there's a way to do this and incorporate that power behind the NBA to move this along, to get the owners of the NFL involved, to get the owners of Major League Baseball involved. I think hockey's going to be involved. I think all sports are going to be involved.
We'll cut back to this when all of that happens, and I'll either go, damn, you were right, or we'll have this same conversation again.
Well, we're ducking bullets and running around because this is going to be the...
The inevitable.
Yeah.
All right. This one is really at me. From Glenn Fowler. And I think this was a little bit confusing. Okay, it says from Glenn Fowler, but then towards the end, it says Sharon Fowler. So maybe you might be able to help me make sense of this. Karen Hunter, I have heard you on Karen's show many, many times. The last time I heard you plug your podcast, you asked listeners to help you blow up like Joe Rogan. I gave it a shot. I have to support any positive black experience/venture. Very offended, disappointed at how freely you use the N-word. I believe if everyone who hears it can't say it, then I shouldn't. Let me stop reading. That same old horse shit. That belongs in the same dish with Mike Epps, cops kill us because they see us kill us. I'm going to expand on that, but let me finish reading this. You way too freely call women bitches. One of your male listeners will think they can do it. Listen, if you do that, then you are the same idiot who thinks that just because you play a violent video game means you will get influenced to go out and commit violence. What are you, seven? I hope you don't have a daughter or son. When the street use the words on them, don't be mad. No, because my kids will be raised realistically to know that that's part of the universe. Sharon Fowler, P.S. I really wanted to add you to my rotation and remove something else. Again, am I talking to a girl or a dude? Because I think Sharon may be Glenn's wife. Because it says from Glenn Fowler, but then it ends with Sharon Fowler. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I think they might be using the same email thing. I think it's Sharon.
Okay, Sharon. Because, yeah, okay. If this is a dude, oh boy, nigga, please untuck your dick from your thighs.
And you just said it again, too. She's listening to you. The M word.
No,
she's
cringing. Nigga, 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 nigga. I say nigga, it makes my teeth white. Nigga. Sweetheart, listen. What world do you live in? What Disney world do you live in? At the end of the day, please do not lose perspective as to what this is. This is entertainment. Sometimes it's informative. Sometimes it's juvenile. Sometimes it's whatever you get from it is what you get from it. This is a buffet. You know, you stick your nose 2 inches from the steam as you gaze upon, do I want smothered pork chops? Do I want tacos? Do I want Chinese noodles? Do I just want Jell-O or apple pie or sweet potato pie? Do I want soup? We serve all that shit. Pick your goddamn dish and move the fuck on. I'm not changing the menu because you don't like what's on it. This is entertainment. If you go see a movie, 12 Years a Slave or any slave movie, you're going to hear the N-word. If you go see an action movie, you're going to see violence, bloodshed, gunshots. Stop taking this shit so fucking seriously. And to say that because other people can't say it, you shouldn't. Get off that slave shit. We created something out of misery. Patrice once said, and to you fat nigga if you listening, yeah, nigga, Patrice. Patrice once said, if black people don't own anything else, we own the right to language. Because of what we've gone through and the hardships, we have earned the right to say whatever the fuck we want. Whereas, to some degree, yeah, white guy can't say what we say. Certain people can't say what we say, but we've earned that right. So, you know, and again, I grew up with parents, you know, like I said, played spades, dominoes, cards, you know, they was animated, colorful niggas. Hey, baby, give me some more chitlins. Nigga, you lying. Shit, Willie, roll that motherfucker. Did you hear what that nigga say? That's how I grew up. I didn't grow up, you know, Rudy and the Theo, did you do your homework on Rudy? I didn't grow up like that. So that's, you know, I'm a product of my environment.
But how do you feel about how, I get what you're saying, but for her, she thinks it's the word is disrespectful and that if it wasn't used at all, it would be gone. Do you think it would go?
Of course not.
No, do you know what it would be? The only people who would be using it are racist then. So you're giving the word back to racists.
But they use it regardless.
No, that's what I'm saying, but you'd be giving it to them. If you didn't use it the way in the context black men use it, you would be giving it to those guys.
First of all, racists aren't given anything. They take it.
Okay.
Racists don't give them shit. They take, nigga. And listen, to my real bitches out there, Shannon, Farrah, Shamar, DeAndre Johnson, if I'm saying, they get it. They not, you think Farrah and Shamar and Shannon are that tight in the crotch? They get it. They know what this is. They know we love them and praise them. And sweetheart, I have a feeling that you haven't really listened to too many episodes. You heard one, two, you got turned off, and that was it. If you really study this podcast and listen to me, You'll hear the episodes where I praise women to death. Like I said, I may go about it in a certain fashion verbally, but I put them on the pedestal when I talk about the episode about the transgenders, and I said something about, listen, man, you can't put a Ferrari engine in a Honda body and still call it a Ferrari. You know what I mean? I need you ripping the guts out. If to me, you know, be who you are, do what you do. But, you know, there are certain parts, certain engine parts, certain things that make up what it is, that make a Ferrari go, the makeup of a woman. Not just physically, certain things mentally and behavior-wise. And all those parts come together to make that motherfucker a Ferrari. And if you go changing and mixing and taking out and putting different things in, it ain't the same. So, you know, come on, sweetheart. Invest in the podcast. Like I said, don't just read a page. Read the book. You might be reading a chapter that got you feeling a certain kind of way. Read the book. You might find out 2 chapters down, oh, shit. Okay. Now the whole story's starting to make sense. You know what I mean? I tell white boys all the time who go, man, you racist. You don't like white people. Do me a favor. Listen to the podcast, champ. I guarantee you, if you start from episode one, by the time you get to the episode of today, you'll have a full perspective on who I am, how I feel, what I do. It's genuine. It's funny. At times, it's smart. You're crazy if you can't love me. I'm so pretty. I'm the greatest. I'm the best champ. I've never been beat. I fought Stan Lytton, Joe Frazier. I've been knocked down. Never been knocked out. Look at my face. I'm so pretty. I'm the greatest. I'm so pretty. I'm sexy. Come on, man. You can't like me, nigga.
You know, the way you addressed her, and then you started out with, did my real bitches.
Yeah.
And the other dude, that first email where...
Wendell,
when he just said that I'm using you up because to my advantage.
Right.
Yeah, man. There was an easier way for me to go than this.
Right. Oh yeah.
When I heard you say that, I go, yeah, this dude, I don't know if he listened to the podcast then. There's a lot of easier roads that I had than this one.
Listen, man, I think sometimes people just tune right in. And whenever I promote the podcast, and I don't know if I've ever mentioned this to you, strategically, from a marketing standpoint, I do this on purpose. Whenever women hit me up and go, can I get the link to the podcast? I always tell them, hey, do me a favor, sweetie. Listen to episode 27, the Pussy Podcast, first. Then listen to episodes 90 and 91 with Kyla Lacey. Because if I don't say that, my fear is that they'll just listen to a random episode and feel like her. How this is disrespectful, bitches, nigga. But I'm trying to get you hooked on the coke first. I'm going to give you this for free. The Pussy Podcast is to get you wet. It's to get you titillated. It's to pique your interest. And then somehow, if that still ain't did it, now go to 90 and 91. So you can get a woman's perspective. Kyla Lacey, intelligent, strong, black, great poem. So between 27, 90, and 91, you hooked on my product. You hooked on the Blue Magic. Now you in. I got you. So now you can listen to all them other episodes and hear the vulgarity and the raunchiness. And you go, yeah, but I know where he's coming from.
It's just part of the story.
It's just part of the story for you know, the makeup of the book.
It isn't defining anything.
Exactly.
It's the story.
So again, that's why when I talk to, you know, non-women, I always want to tell them, hey, man, start from one and go in order. Because a lot of times people will tune in and go from the most current. Start from one because I want them to follow the evolution of the show. Back before we did the O Steve, it was me going, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Yo, what is that? The dating game. But then now the O Steves are kind of a cute little funny. So we're improving. So I want you to grow and improve with us. So you can go, man, I was there from the beginning. Or I caught it from the beginning. Now I understand. It's a bigger thing going in. We like the fucking Marvel. We like the Avengers. You know, we got, you know, this leads to something. You know, we're going to fight Thanos and we're going to lose. And then we're going to win. So, come on, Karen. Buck up, baby. Your G-string is sagging. Okay. Our boy, Culture. Kushkol. Culture. You know the nigga from Toronto. On his back, feet and toes up. Head on the pillow. What's that coffee, nigga? Nescafe. Nescafe, nigga. Yeah. He drinks Nescafe next to his bed with his socks. The socks that got the toes in them.
The individual toes?
The individual toes. And he got his legs crossed, drinking Nescafe. Hey, Aries. It's Culture from Toronto. All right. This is his watch list. Watch. Ballers with Dwayne Johnson. You ever seen it?
Yeah, man. I actually liked it.
Never wanted to get into that. I never thought I just.
It's
you know.
Good. It's good, but I'll be really honest. When I'm watching it, I'm into it.
Right.
But it, like, and then I want to see. It doesn't draw me back. Like I watch like five, six episodes,
right.
and then go, and it doesn't make me go, oh, I got to go see what happened next.
So it's not that.
It's good. If you could get, if you get into it, and it, there's just so much out there, man. There's just so many things to watch. Right. It's good, though. I mean, it's funny. It's good. There's a lot of good people in it.
I, to be honest, even as you say all that, I just...
It's good. Listen. It's worth watching, but it's not my... It's not my, like, I have to see that. It's like, hey, man, I'm watching TV. I'm looking for something to watch. I would go to Ballers because it's good.
Yeah. All right. Number two, Servant. Season one right now. Season two filming later this year. It's a mystery drama type show. It keeps you guessing. It's shot as if you're watching a movie. Highly recommend this. Servant, you heard of it?
No, I haven't seen it.
Never heard of it. The Place Beyond the Pines. Ryan Gosling, Bradley Cooper, Eva Mendes. Never heard of it.
I can't stand that many good-looking dudes in one.
I'm glad you said that. Let me go back to Ballers. I don't want to watch a bunch of rich motherfuckers living life, and I'm striving to get there, and I'm not there yet. You could either, I guess you could use it either as motivation or you hate it. But, you know, yeah, nigga. Boss, Kelsey Grammer. It's two seasons, but powerful show. Should have continued past two seasons. It's a drama show. It's about Kelsey's character, Mayor Tom Kane, diagnosed with dementia disorder, struggles to keep his grip on the power in Chicago. Is that even on anymore?
I haven't heard about it, but...
Kelsey, you know that show, though, right? You never... T.I. was on it.
I never saw it.
Yeah, I don't even think that's on anymore.
No, he said it's only lasted two seasons.
Oh, okay.
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I don't know. And, you know, nigga, T.I., what was that comedy he did where he played a cop with the lady and they were, fuck. Yeah, T.I., I can't. This is a movie. I hands up on fucking, yeah. Mystic River. Crime, drama, thriller, mystery, highly recommend this. You remember this?
I saw it, and I don't remember it.
It's the movie where Sean Penn's daughter was raped and killed, and he thought Tim Robbins did it, and he was a mobster, Sean Penn. So he wanted to kill Tim Robbins, but he would have ended up killing the wrong man. You don't remember that?
No, man.
Dude, let me tell you something.
I got to watch it again. I do remember. I remember that I saw it. I just don't remember it.
Again, this is one of those where I go, I ain't an actor. The scene where he comes up in the park, I think it's like a Central Park, and there's 1,000 cops on the scene. Her body's in this ditch, and he goes, he completely fucking loses it, and it takes 1,000 cops to hold him back, and he goes, is my daughter in there? And he's losing it. I don't know if I could do that, man. From what it is you got to draw from, to pretend that this actress, who's not your real flesh and blood, has been raped and killed, and it affects you that deeply. He sold the shit out of that, man.
Dude, I think you do that, though. I've seen you act before. I think that you put yourself in the position of the character.
Not in real life. I mean, not in a movie. In real life, maybe. Like, you know, I'm looking at the toilet, and I'm like, is that my career in there?
That may be the funniest thing you've ever said on this podcast. I'm sorry.
Is that my career in there? All right. Ordinary People, 1980, Donald Sutherland.
Man, that's another one.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. I know. I've heard of it. I just didn't see it.
All right. Okay. Drama. He said this is the most underappreciated, overlooked film in history. Highly, highly recommend this. Won 4 Oscars, another 15 wins, 14 nominations. Hey, Culture, I might have to put that nigga on my to-do list. You know what I mean? Maybe I could drink some Nescafe or a Sanka or a Zima or all the shit niggas don't drink.
Dude, he's a chill dude. I like this guy.
I like him too, man.
I'm going to check out those movies. I got to rewatch that Mystic... I remember some of the scenes from Penn, but I just don't... You know, that's the problem, though, too, when you watch things on TV and other shit's going on around you.
Right.
You think you watched it, but you really haven't.
Right. Excuse me. That was the last little bit of that fight at the palace. It was security moving some niggas out. Farrah, our girl Farrah, man whore. A guy that jumps from girl to girl without remorse. You are what you preach. So I'm a man whore. Is this the part where I feel sad? That I move from pussy to pussy?
No, I don't know how you're supposed to feel about that. What, would she just call you that out of the blue? Or
I mean, she put it in a title, but I know she means well. Please, sweetie, don't turn into Miss Fowler on me.
I think maybe that's the perception you're giving. She doesn't want you to have that perception.
Okay, well, I digress. Andy, I know your heart is in the right place. I know deep down you really just want us to all get along. However, listening to you try to get your point across really made me realize that you have graduated from the class of pedantic and moved on to grad school with a focus in circumlocution. Bam, okay, got me there. Also, hearing you pretty much say, and before you say your catchphrase, I never said that, trust me, you pretty much did. I didn't read this before, did I?
No, but I like how you said you didn't, you did, you pretty much did.
Right. Why should they bite the hand that feeds them, and the NBA is already progressive? Phew, she writes, P-H-E-W, phew. Andy, how is writing Black Lives Matter on a basketball court helpful for the movement, or having jerseys with say her name on the back but not approving the actual name Breonna Taylor or Sandra Bland or Atiana Jefferson? Remember her? This shit happens so often, we leave folk off the roster. Yes, the NBA actually denied that request. I didn't even know that shit. Okay.
I didn't either.
To you. What is helpful is getting rid of qualified immunity for cops, but that won't happen because the Supreme Court struck down even hearing a case about it this year. Qualified immunity is designed to protect all but the plainly incompetent or those who knowingly violate the law. Law enforcement officers are entitled to qualified immunity when their actions do not violate or clearly establish statutory or constitutional right. No one even remembers that ruling from the Supreme Court, and it happened back in June of this year. People probably didn't pay attention to it because they were distracted by whatever sideshow Trump was up to or whatever sports or pop culture trend was hot at the time. In fact, wasn't it back in June when the NBA announced their plans to return and be all woke for the remainder of the season? What the NBA and other sports leagues are doing are methods of quieting the mob, doing things for pacifying efforts. That one-day protest was not only weak, but it showed that we all aren't on the same page. Fucking surprise there. And we look silly to those continuing to oppress. Miss me with your, but they care. They care about their pockets, as does the rest of the world. Now she moves on to talk about Black Panther. Is there anything you want to
alter that? Yeah, yeah, we can start. I like how she said, before you say I didn't say it, right. And then she said, but you basically did.
Yes.
Yeah, what I said was, and you even called me out for saying it, but I said, bite the hand that's helping you. I wasn't saying to feed you because I understand what that would have meant. But my point to this is, and she said it, we're not all on the same page. It showed that we're not all on the same page. That was my point. All has to be on the same page. This is a movement. If you want it, if this is going to work, it needs to be together. When you talk about the NBA, listen, this is where I haven't heard one person bring it up, so I'm going to bring it up. The NBA went through a problem similar that I haven't heard anybody really talk about. With Colin Kaepernick when it was Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
I was going to bring that up to you.
Yeah, and they had to address, they had worked on addressing this years before, and they let him come out, and they had a standing policy, but he was able to bow his head and pray and put his own protest on there, and then they had, but his career, honestly, I've read a lot about him. His career was ended basically after that. He only played a few more years in the NBA.
But let's be clear. Let me give you some more context. For those of you who might or may not remember, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf played with the Denver Nuggets, one of the dopest sharpshooters ever.
Curry before Curry,
Reggie Miller during Reggie Miller.
And short.
Right, and short. And at first, he wouldn't stand for the national anthem.
He didn't come out.
Well, no, he came out, sat down.
There was a lot of part where he wouldn't even come out. He just stayed. He wasn't trying to do this to... This wasn't to be a television statement. He got... The reporters are the ones that asked him where he is when the national anthem...
Okay, it graduated from didn't come out to come out but wouldn't stand.
Yeah.
To eventually standing but still wouldn't recite the words or anything or put his hand over his heart, he would, because he was Muslim.
Yeah.
So he would cup his hands the way Muslims do when they pray.
Bow
his head. And it was a religious thing for him. And he eventually basically got blackballed out of the NBA.
Yeah, he was traded the next year.
As was Craig Hodges from the Chicago Bulls. That year he went to the White House in his daishiki and his kufi. And he was also slowly but surely kicked out of the league. So, again, when you bring up the NBA has been the most progressive.
The NBA has dealt with this before the NFL was. The NBA has done better dealing with protest against, the kneeling. I think the kneeling thing. I think that whole protest that the NBA took a stand, I think it's ridiculous. I don't think there's anything that... I wrote actually a thing about it, and I might even post it on one of our things, but it was it's a protest. I say that if you want to be on your knee because the country hasn't lifted you up, I think we should all take a knee until we all stand together. And this is where this gets... I think you're in the right place. We should all get along. It's not that I think that we all should. I know we all should. But we're not, and I get that part too. But am I going to speak on what it's not? I mean, I know that this is the direction that I want to see America go to. I think we all should get along. I don't have this hatred that I don't know where this comes from. I don't understand how people even can be this way. But when I'm looking at it, I don't get it. And when I'm looking at the NBA, and I say they had challenges, they're working towards something. They are more progressive in their stance. Did I say that the NBA has figured it out? Did I say the NBA was good? I think that there's a potential to use the influence that the NBA has to move the other leagues, because the other leagues haven't moved at all.
Right.
And the NBA has shown the ability to look at what's happening and have some movement. You're still dealing with, 99% white owners in a capitalist system, and it's about the money. But I'm telling you right now, this season wasn't the season because the money isn't there, and they're getting handouts from the government. They're still getting their money. You're not affecting these people financially right now. If you want to affect them financially, it's when we think we're all going back into business. That's the effect.
So to be continued.
Yeah, but you can finish up her letter. I appreciate what she's trying to say, but you said that I'm going to say I didn't say it, and you knew I didn't say it, and you still put that in there as I said it. So that didn't make any sense to me. Call me out for what I said then. Don't waste your time on saying that I'm going to say I didn't say it when you know I didn't say it. You wrote it in there knowing I didn't say it. But you said that I pretty much said it. That isn't what I was trying to get across. I really feel that this is a league that, out of all the leagues, have made some strides to change.
Right. Black Panther, hear me out for a second before you caveman club me with misogyny. Oh, sir, I hope you're not turning on me, baby. Wouldn't the most logical and respectful heir to T'Challa's throne be his sister, Suri? You said that, right?
No, but that's what they were said.
No, but didn't you mention that? I think you did.
I don't know. I mean, that's logical. Okay. She's the one with all the, right, the science background.
Now, I don't know jack shit about comic books, and I don't know how it's supposed to go down in the actual comic. Side note, Ares, a fleshlight is some sucker shit, but adult cartoons on paper isn't slightly sucker shit-ish. Fuck, at least with the fleshlight, ejaculation happens. Hopefully, probably faster than that two-finger rub process you described. I digress. Black Panther was the only Marvel movie I went to see in theaters, and goddamn, hearing that Chad died was just adding more prunes to a shitty year. Anyway, Shuri, if that's her name, I'm fucking it up, made all of T'Challa's gear, and the power really came from the vibranium. So if she became the new Black Panther, it would be a little more believable that she would be able to kick everybody's ass. Bitch would be powered by Wakanda fuel. On any other male actor stepping in seems disrespectful to Chadwick's legacy. I don't know if I agree or disagree. I think I could go either way.
I think in the comic book genre, movies, we brought a Batman.
Right.
There's been many Batmans, been many Supermans.
Right.
I don't think it would be disrespectful. I do have a comment on what she's saying there, right?
Yeah,
there.
But I'm just saying, for me as a preference, you know, again, Luke Cage, Falcon, Spawn, Blade, Black Panther, that's pretty much all we got. So I wouldn't, not that I would totally mind his sister taking over the mantle, but let's keep the dude let's keep him. But he's the Jackie Robinson.
But she made a comic book error in there, because she said that she designed the suit, she designed right. everything, and she gets his power from the vibrating. But when they fight for the throne of being Black Panther, when Killmonger came out,
right.
they go through the process of where you don't have any powers.
Right, they just fight regular.
Yeah, you have to earn the ability to be that Black Panther. Right. So in order for that to happen, she has to fight with none of the benefit of the science behind
Your
her.
Your powers
suit.
Have been stripped away.
So that's the only thing in the comic book thing. She's going to have to fight as a regular person.
She's going to have to fight real and raw.
Yeah, and she's going to have to fight someone like Killmonger.
Mother, why are her titties out for the fight? Her bra and clothes have been stripped away.
Do you know...
how's that for misogyny?
Dude, George Lucas, Carrie Fisher in Star
yes.
Wars, you know that...
That story, yes, because yeah. she didn't wear no bra and... She didn't have bras in space.
Yeah. She went, why don't I have, yeah, I love that scene.
But that's fictitious. In real life, you know, African women be with their titties out. So one is fantasy and one is fantasy. The bras and the panties have been stripped away. The titties are out. Fight. Utufu, pass me the lotion. Okay. Aries, yes, I would say all that about infidelity because I'm not a busted ass bitch that has low standards and expectations for her mate. Oh, boy. I may not be shaped like processed meat. And yes, love, Gemstar is shaped like a Mickey D's number 4 with the extra large soda. Bitch is odd looking. And when she gets old, she will transform into what looks like an upright 20-pound sack of russet potatoes. Definitely not organic. Yuck. Anyways, I get that we will never convince each other of the other's one point, but I can't wait to see I can't wait to see or hear about your energy when you get that son-in-law. Remember Tony and Jackie Jr. Sincerely, Farrah, I ain't accepting no cheating bullshit queen. You got it, baby. I'm not going to argue with you, mama. Well, then, goddamn it, let me die on Mickey D's, nigga.
We're there.
We're in an hour?
Yeah.
Really?
Do you I made you watch Tapeheads, right?
No.
I thought that was the one with John Cusack and...
But I didn't watch that one.
Oh, man. There's a scene where they're making a Roscoe's commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this claymation that they did to this chicken.
Right.
On the turntable. Mm-hmm. And that's what... That's that... that
She's bugging,
she
nigga.
I wish you would look at that. That's the look.
Bugging, nigga. I want to read this last email, and this is a great way to kind of send us off. And then we'll get into another one. This is short and sweet on some entertainment shit. This is from Aunt Johnson. Real rap is not on the radio. Yo, Aries and Andy, first off, I got a $10 a lot of money shirt,
he
and
did.
It's fire. I need one in black. Can you feel it, baby? Andy, make that happen, bruh. I'm listening to 185 of the podcast, and you guys are talking about rap. You need to stop listening to that mainstream rap. You know, I don't listen to that bullshit. That shit is garbage. And for simple-minded people, it has no message or content. And I'm convinced that if you listen to it long enough, your brain might melt. Listen to the God Fahim, Mock Hami, your old drool, Conway the Machine, West Side Gun, Benny the Butcher, or Spesh 38. You wouldn't be disappointed at all. I don't listen to female rappers like that, but Rhapsody and Chi Noir are the truth. Real rap is still alive, but you're not going to find it anywhere on the radio. If you do check them out, let me know what you think. Y'all got the best podcast out. No bullshit. Keep the episodes rolling. Much love, Ann Johnson. I'm not really a listener of hers, but I'm going to tell you who go hard body. Young M.A. And for a long time, I thought her name was Young Ma, but I think it's pronounced Young M.A. And, you know, let's be real. You know, she is a snatch snipper.
You almost Denzel'd that.
Which part?
Right. She.
All right. She. she hard body, nigga. You know, she got a jock strap. Young M.A. go hard. But I hear you, brother. But I gotta tell you who I know proudly. I know two battle rappers in real life. Loaded Lux and Murder Mook from Harlem. And I had to hit Murder up. He wants to do a Instagram live with me. You never heard of these dudes, right? Mm-mm. Battle rappers. Dude, Murder Mook battled a nigga from Atlanta called Young Hotness. And then somewhere in the song, he goes, my girl was like, baby, you don't know who this is? This Young Hotness. He said, I don't give a fuck, son, garbage. And he goes, I know I'm the greatest. I believe in the hype. That's why every time you hear me, I compare me to Mike. Example, remember when AI shook Mike up out of sneakers? It looked so crazy because up until that point, we didn't think Mike had a weakness. Off that one move, AI got his fame. But let's not forget, Jordan scored 45 and he still won that game. Murder Mook got bars, man. I have to play this for y'all. He was on Funk Flex's Hot 97. And Funk Flex does a thing where they do the freestyle. And this is why I love New York niggas and New York rap so much. The bravado, the arrogance, the mentality. We don't hold shit back. And at one point, Murder Mook, as the beat comes on, he takes the mic cover off the mic and throws it on the desk and goes, hey, pardon me, man, to Funk Flex. He goes, you had a lot of bullshit in front of this. I can't catch what these niggas got. And I fucking loved it. Because what he was saying was, Lil Yachty, there's been some rappers on the Funk Flex freestyle that have been garbage. And Flex, you know, he ain't gonna eat a host. So he ain't gonna go, yo, that was whack. But you can see it in his face. Like when he like you, Funk is animated. He's smiling. He's like, oh shit, he's loving your bars. When them garbage niggas spit, he just got a blank look on his face with a halfway grin like, this nigga garbage. And again, the politically correct, polite thing to do is to be the host, to be nice. And the fact that Murder went, man, I'm sorry, he took the mic cover off because if he absorbing that bull, I don't want to catch what these niggas got. He had a lot of bullshit in front of this. And then he goes on to spit fire. I have to do it. What a great way to end this podcast with that email. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, you know what I'm saying, from Harlem, my man, Murder Mook, Funk Flex. And I'm going to talk to this nigga on Monday, and we're going to do something. This shit fucking fire. Here we go.
Yo, what's shaking? It's your boy, yeah. Murder Mook, the Easy Man. I'm up here with my bro, Funk Flex, about to get busy. Harlem, huh?
You know what it is. Funk Flex. Murder Mook is here.
I mean, hello.
Tat, what we like? Like,
Freestyle 015.
Okay. So we're like 015. Okay. We ready. We here. This is what it is.
Put the beats on, man. That's what we got up, man. Talk to me, Flex. I'm from Harlem, man. You know it. Hold on. Pardon me. You had a lot of bullshit in front of this before, man. I can't catch what these niggas got, you hear me?
I can't. You just pardoned me.
I'm a Harlem nigga, though. You understand what I'm saying? We get a little more volume up in these joints, a little bit. Check. Look. Talk. I just went to church on Sunday. Then I had to put in work that Monday. See, this kind of motto not for the runway. Double M-A-G, these niggas dread the gunplay. Oh, you talking about money? It's outrageous. My niggas mouth rage about clout shit. I'm out in Vegas. I'm betting wild wages, raping the crap table. Johnny Walker, bitch, right out of a black label. Back when I was a featherweight trying to pedal bass. Doctor looking for a fraction, need to catch a break. Had me out there in the streets like I never ate. If a nigga looking like food, he get a metal plate. Or get the fist if I don't blaze. Here feeling for 1 year, 365 days. Doing 65, running 65 plays. 65 niggas say they live, 65 grades. The bricks fret beef 160 days, 355s keep tumbling 50 ways. I can't even count this money, just getting crazy. It's coming so many ways, I'm mumbling, give me space. I turn a pretty day great, 50 shades. Dominatrix with the white girl, whip a slave. If you ain't got the product, you ain't getting paid. That white girl got a show first, nigga Ricky Lake. Flex my blicky, say it's gonna be a licky day. Three little piggies on who Mickey, I'ma pick today. If he acting iffy in the jiffy, let them tricky spray. If a nigga miss, okay, kill him from the ricochet. If he live in the city, we find out where them niggas stay. House party, visit way. Niggas think I'm kidding, play. Money's 9-3. Nigga, check my balance, I flip something. I'm always gonna land on my feet. I know some big hats, you thinking you try me. And get high blood pressure, you salty, it's IV. Big hammers rung, a lot of candles brung. Portraits and mantles hung, live on channel one. I don't care where you from. Shotty spit, Karate Kid, Vine clip. Goddamn Daniel, son. His head is smeared, knock his noodle out, I never cared. Marinara, smear him, they like, who the spill spaghetti here? Better fit. Anything you want, I bet I sell it here, please. These nigga, trust these keys gonna take you everywhere. I was only 17 thinking Medellin. Meek Mill to the fiends, I was selling dreams. On the project steps, moving medicine. Every Martin Luther next to it like Coretta King. Huh? Well, we still rock? Hold on.
I got more beats. We got beats.
Yo, hold on.
Lately,
yo, hold on.
Yo, we're shaking the shit.
Oh, shit. Hold up. Pause. Yo, that nigga said something about this gunplay like a model. It ain't meant for the runway. Yeah, dude. Like, just... Hover, home of the spitters. New York, home of the spitters. Like, the metaphors, the punchlines, the segues. There's levels to this shit, man. He got one more thing he say about drugs, where he say something about... Now that I sold the cane, I'm able. Like Cain and Abel.
Yeah.
Hold up, man. I'm sorry. I apologize. Let me get back to it. Let me.
Right, I can hold up. You want to see your baby girl breathe again? It's sent about 3:50 evening. I'm about to make it 100 degrees again. Look at the colors change on the leaves again. Everybody the plug, man. Get them out, ref. How you the plug, but you can't afford the outlet? Matter of fact, shit, we gon' take this a little farther. How you claim you the plug and can't afford the charger? Set trip, you gon' catch this vibe. From your reckless pride, get your head split wide. When I step in with a tech this size, everybody on the floor like the electric slide. D.O.T., we ain't nothing to fuck with. I be low-key, I ain't one for the fuck shit. I catch a nigga, it's on sight. Put him out of commission under my Timberlands, he under construction. Boxing approach when niggas see you. Once we lift up his rope, we get in his ring too. Ooh, I don't think you know what I mean, nigga. You gotta lift up the rope to get in the ring, nigga. That's word to my aunt Tootsie, they all pussy. Press me, it ain't intercom, now talk to me. Pinocchio, I wish you would, son. Geppetto can't turn you to a real one. On top of the hill, turn on a milk run. For real, son, I'm talking about millions over millions. It's ill, niggas change over green like a chameleon. It's pound, looking around like when the bill come. Hell yeah, we could get a deal done. As long as the money squared like Sicilians. Dot Mar, we come and they tuck shit. Cause we HIV, nothing to fuck with.
We got more beats?
All right, let's get some more beats. Trap closed, nigga, 9:00. But don't worry though, I got an after-hour spot. I'm busy trying to find LeBron on the cable. And the fan then that blew half the grams off the table. Once these bitches seal, we gon' ship them like the naval. I can't, I need my bread whole like a bagel. Grandmother said, go to church, it'll save you. Open up the Bible, so the cane, now I'm able.
Dude,
he said under my Tim boot, It's under construction. Come on, man.
He rhymed Geppetto.
I mean, come on, man. This is what I'm talking about, man. We get greasy with this shit. We animals, nigga. From New York, nigga, Harlem, West Side, Manhattan. What we doing? Brooklyn, the Bronx, Queens, Boogie. I'm saying, fam, know what it is, God? Come on, man. New York, home of the spitters. That niggas step up. Rap game, garbage, son. That niggas is garbage out here. You ain't spitting bars, man. Woo! I'm hype, nigga. I'm hype, nigga. I'm sweating in this motherfucker. All right, that's it, man. Hits 101, thank you. Please, just t-shirts, y'all. $10 lot of money, Andy Comedy.
On Instagram. Hit me up.
Instagram.
I'll send you the...
Check out our Patreon page, too, man, because we really... I've been dying for y'all to see that Arnold Schwarzenegger cartoon, The System Fucker, which I forget which episode it was we put that on, but I wanted to put that out. Of course, Instagram would ban me if I did it. It's on our Twitter. What is our Twitter page? Do you know?
I think it's Spears and Steinberg.
Spears and Steinberg. Look it up on Twitter. It should be there. Yeah, The System Fucker. Yeah.
Yeah. AndyComedy.com. You can find my social media. AriSpears.com. You can get all his. What else we got? We got some masks. If you go on my Instagram page, you can get... you got to wear your mask, man. Might as well wear ours.
And check out my app I'm coming out with at AriSpears.com called Ari Spears Movie Madness. Download it. Play it. Let me know what you think. This is important. Same bat time, same bat channel. Next week, right? We'll be in Miami, of course.
Well, no, they're listening to this. You're right. We're in Miami on Friday.
Miami on Friday, and next Wednesday we'll have that episode, and then Thursday we'll have another email. So there we go.
Yeah,
Bronx, Brooklyn, nigga. Can you feel it, baby?